Hello and welcome to Beatdown, a musical battle royale from Josh, Jen, and Ed. Each week on Beatdown, we will choose a theme and our panelists will bring a song that they think is the ultimate representation of that theme. They'll argue the merits of the song, from the artist to the craft, the lyrics, the melody, and their own emotional connection to it, until you, the listener, are charged to vote on which song was the best. I am your host, writer, podcaster, and code monkey, Josh Brunell, and joining this week and every week, because she's signed legally binding paperwork to do that, is artist, event planner, and formerly my co-host on the Gleeful podcast, Jennifer Lane. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Josh.
Should I say it the way I used to say it? Good evening, Jennifer.
I like it. Brings me right back.
And also joining us, because he's one of my favorite people on the planet and knows more about pop music than most of the creators of pop music, writer, chemist, and our other co-host on the Once and Mighty King Gleeful podcast, it's Edward Giordano. Good evening, Ed.
Hey, what's up?
Man, we have not done this in so long.
Yeah.
I'm excited to make podcasts great again. I really am.
Oh my god. It took us a minute, Ed.
Had to go there, didn't you?
I know Ed well enough to know he came up with that like 2 months ago, and he's like, I'm gonna crush this. I am so excited.
Oh my gosh, he's totally blushing.
Oh,
it's true. I was thinking, oh, what can I say that's super clever? I was like, oh, that's what I'm saying.
So we are back. You may have heard us before. We're going to put this first episode on the Gleeful podcast feed for listeners of the Gleeful podcast. And we're going to work on a little surprise, special gift for our old Gleeful podcast listeners. But the three of us hosted a podcast about the TV show Glee for 6 years is how long we spent doing that.
6 years.
6 long years.
Crazy
we
pants.
Talked about Glee. It's funny, I was telling somebody this story the other night, and he was like, man, you must have really loved that show. And I was like, you'd think. there were days. I mean,
there were lots of emotions.
That's the right word.
Yes, definitely. Definitely emotions, like with anything that you do for 6 years. You get your highs, you get your lows. It's just... Yeah. You see it through to the end, though.
And we lived and died by Glee. Like, when Glee was successful, we were successful. When Glee was good, we were good. There were definitely some episodes where we were certainly scraping the bottom of the barrel. But this show will be a little different. So this is something that I've wanted to do for a while, and I've been telling Ed about it, and this is what we're going to do. Each week, we're going to have a theme, and we're each going to bring a song and argue why our song is the ultimate representation of that theme. And then you, the listeners, will have the opportunity to vote on who was the best. And then that person gets bragging rights, and they get to drink Yoo-Hoo, and they probably get to, I don't know,
do an end zone dance.
Yes, Jennifer's going to buy everybody gum.
Yep. Everybody gets gum.
And a lot of this was inspired by one of my favorite things during the Gleeful podcast was talking to you two about the music on the Gleeful podcast, because you cannot find three people that love music as much as we do and see it so wildly differently as the three of us. And so I thought it'd be fun to just kind of take a little minute and just kind of discuss our emotions, our connection to music. In the future, we're going to take this time to discuss about which song won the competition last week. But since we don't have a song to discuss, we'll just go around a little bit. And Ed, do you want to tell me a little bit about your connection to music, when you first really found a love for it? And, you know, maybe something even as stupid as, like, what is your favorite song?
Okay, well, I'm thinking about, like, my formative music that like really impacted everything I saw, and I talked about this most likely in the Gleeful podcast, but the first two CDs I received them together, was Britney Spears' Baby One More Time and Steve Miller Band Greatest Hits. And I feel like those two albums have like really dictated all my perspectives from music there on out.
Wow, so you're really into overproduced pop songs that are vaguely about abuse, and really stoner Central California pseudo country. I had both of those on CD, and they're both fantastic albums. And I will stick up for that Steve Miller Band Greatest Hits. That's a great record.
I mean, that was a really great gift, and I remember like being like 3, 4, and "Achy Breaky Your Heart" was big at the time.
It was big.
And I was like loving it. I was like, I remember like By the second time the chorus came around, I was singing along probably very incorrectly, which is not too indifferent than the first time I hear a song now that I'm super into. And I was just like this is what pop music is. Like, you don't even know it, but you think you know it and you're doing it. And like, that's what, as a 3-year-old, I wasn't thinking that, but like later as I processed that, and I still remember the day that I realized when I was watching a commercial that someone like made the commercial, and I was like, wow. I was like 5 or 6 at that. And I was like blown by that. Like, someone did this.
Have you ever seen Steve Miller in concert, Ed?
No.
It's my first... very strange.
I was gonna say my first concert was Garth Brooks.
Just for the really record. Where did you see Garth Brooks?
I saw him at the United Center.
In what on what tour?
Were you? Yeah.
And how old were you?
I don't know. But he broke his leg at that concert. So that's probably
you were high school?
No. I was like 12-ish.
Oh wow.
Maybe less. Probably okay. less. Probably less.
Wow. And he like broke his leg at the concert. And that's, do you remember what album mm-hmm. he was touring on?
Oh God. No. Sorry. That's amazing. I don't know any Garth Brooks albums now. So,
oh, I know all of them. Actually, he just put out a new one. I don't know that one. So I haven't heard that one. Jennifer, same question to you. And I think Ed had a great point there. So if you'd like to tell us a little bit about your connection to music and what was your first concert?
Okay. So, you know, I always enjoyed music. I was more into, you know, studio art or like drawing art more than musical art. So, you know, drawing and painting was something I could visualize. Music always kind of was this, you know, mysterious, ethereal thing that I'm like, how do people see different melodies or understand it and process it in their brain? So I never really, you know, it was just kind of always this, you know, mysterious thing to me. And, in junior high and high school, of course, I listened to everything that my friends listened to because that's all we did and all we knew. And I don't think it was until after I graduated from high school, the summer between my senior year in high school and freshman year of college, I worked at a little record store, small New England, Strawberries Records and Tapes. Yes, still records and still tapes. And I was exposed to everything. It was kind of amazing. My manager was really into Bruce Springsteen and also introduced me to Joe Jackson. And I was, well, not personally, but, you know, just this whole, like, pop jazz, you know, thing. Like, it wasn't just the, you know, the same 10 songs played on loop for 24 hours a day. But then at that point, I also started listening to, you know, it was then called New Wave, which I guess now is alternative or, you know, pop punk or whatever. So once I started to realize that there was like endless opportunities and types of music, that's when I really started to, you know, explore. And I never shared CDs with my friends again because they were all still listening to, you know, Madonna and Prince and Janet, which is fantastic. I still did, but I went in a totally different direction.
I remember one of our first conversations about music, you were like, I really like Alphaville. And I,
you're like,
I was like, the band that did Big in Japan? And you said, wow, everybody else says Forever Young. And I was like, they did Forever Young?
Well, it was really big in commercials in the, you know, early mid-2000s. So yeah. But but that said, my very first concert, I was 15 years old. My high school girlfriends and I took the train into downtown Boston. We went to the Orpheum, which is this tiny little music hall, and we saw John Cougar. So
wow.
Note I said John Cougar, not John Mellencamp, or not even John Cougar Mellencamp. It was his Pink Houses tours, and it was amazing.
Was he still John Cougar on the Pink Houses tour? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and he even had, you know, he had the ladder, and they, you know, when, you know, and the walls come tumbling down, he did that whole thing.
That's hilarious.
He did all of that live on the stage. It was it was pretty fantastic.
But we should totally have a week where we just talk about how much I dislike John Cougar. So let's I would say my first concert of all random things was actually John Denver on the Higher Ground tour.
Wow.
I think I was 12.
And you but you were really into John Denver because your parents were really into him.
Yes. The my mother's on a John Denver record, which we can talk about at some point. But yes, I was a huge John Denver fan as a child, and he was touring on the Higher Ground album, which as a kid I thought was the pinnacle of American music. Mm-hmm. And now as a grown-up, I'm like, yeah, kind of terrible. wild fun fact, he also did a TV show called Higher Ground, which was essentially Walker, Texas Ranger, starring John Denver.
Where but he, was like, he a pilot cop?
Karate kicked people. He was a pilot.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He was a pilot, and he flew to Australia to catch drug dealers, John Denver. But yeah, I've kind of always been a music nerd. I know a big part of it was when I was a kid, I was really sick. And so I would spend a lot of time with my parents' records because it was kind of like company. And the only radio station that really came in at my house was KODJ, I think it was called. And it was all Motown. So I was really obsessed with Motown as a kid, but I didn't know that was old music. I thought that was new music. And so I would say it really kind of started there. My mother says that she used to dance around with me with records when I was a kid because my dad wasn't around, and so it would keep her company. He was working. It's not like he left, but they're still together. But anyway, music has just always been a part of my life, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk about it with you guys every mm-hmm. week. So we're going to go around and we're going to talk about the theme, and then we're each going to go around and present our song, which we feel is the ultimate representation of that theme. And the theme this week is songs about beginnings. It's a new year, it's a new season, it's a new podcast. We are back here today, and our theme this week is songs about beginnings. And so I'm going to turn it over to you, Ed, to go first. Please tell us your song and tell us why it is the ultimate song about beginnings.
Okay, I don't know if it's the ultimate song about beginnings, but it's a song that really resonated with me when I thought about beginnings. It is Little Victories by Blue Sky Riders, which is Kenny Loggins' music trio band. And what I really liked about this song is that the framing of it is right after this guy's divorce, and everything in his life is shattered, and like all these things are going wrong, and then he's like wanting to turn to cigarettes and alcohol and just give up and like throw it all away. He's like, what's the point of going on? But then he like realizes through the mundanity of things that like it's gonna be okay, like everything isn't the end, and he's like beginning anew. And I really like that sense that like carrying on and restarting, like having like a fake restart on your life.
Friday night alone and calling everyone you know. You're reaching for the cigarettes you gave up long ago. You wanna go get drunk somewhere. Turn it off and just not care for a little while. You're running over what went wrong for the 100th time today. You wonder if another thought will ever take its place. You're feeling like you're trapped inside your own bad dream. One that's never gonna end. But here's the funny thing, my friend.
You feel like you're gonna die,
but you don't.
You think that the world will stop,
but it won't.
And it's the darkest thing
the sun comes up, it's another day, and your heart still beats, and you say, hey, I'm still breathing.
Take it from me, these little victories are all a heart needs.
Now, the interesting thing about that song, Ed, why I find it kind of uniquely applicable to us today, is it isn't a beginning from scratch as much as it's like a starting over song, which is kind of fun. And also that Kenny Loggins, like the second he kicks in the background on the hook, I'm like, oh, there's Kenny Loggins. Yep, you can't mistake that guy's voice.
Yeah.
What is your history with this band, Ed? Do you know this one song, or do you really like this record?
I like really became obsessed with this song. I was trying to like psychoanalyze why when you said beginnings and like like very soon after that, I was like, oh, this song. I was like, what about this song? And like, possibly it's probably coming from like a divorced household, which is like everyone in America. And I also really like this idea of starting over, because there's so few things in life you can control, but you could really control your framing of the situation. So that concept really resonates with me. And of like, of course, it's like a catchy pop melody that's simple. And now you heard that my first concert was Garth Brooks, and this was the first song that I brought to the table. So now you think I'm like this like steeped in country lover, which is not true. But I'm not a country hater. So in the Venn diagram of like people, especially of my age range, that probably puts me a country lover just by not being a hater. So.
Well, this is the most country Kenny Loggins ever was, is on this record he did with the Blue Sky Riders. And then the other two people in the band, Georgia, what's her name? I think I looked her up, actually. Georgia Middleman is her name. She's a country backup singer. And then Gary Burr, who wrote like some Garth Brooks songs. He wrote One Night a Day for Garth Brooks. He wrote a Kelly Clarkson song, actually. But this is a very like Nashville record. And so it's interesting. You've never struck me as like a big country fan.
Yeah, no, I was actually really surprised when I saw that this was your choice. I just expected, you know, something poppier, dancier. And this is just, it's beautiful. I'm not a huge fan of country, but mostly because I had very little exposure to it. I've always enjoyed the storytelling element of it. It made it very easy to follow along. But the more that I did listen to some country, I was like, yeah, they're all saying the same story.
Well, and I guess that really would be pretty. Yes. If you were going to complain about this, is it that unique of a country story? Or does it like, Ed, do you see it as a unique country story, or does it just so resonate with you that it makes it unique?
I don't know if sense of reframing. I feel like that angle on it is kind of new to me. Mm-hmm. Like that's probably, so like as I was explaining, I was like, oh, is that why? So I really think like it's literally the sense of the main characters are taking to reframe their life.
And also it's a very pretty ballad. It's not growing up again having really no exposure. I expected country to be more honky tonk and, you know, more twangy. And this is just a lovely song. And, you know, I mean, I guess if you stripped out certain instruments and just listened to it, it could totally be, you know, on any, you know, radio station. It wouldn't have to just be a country.
You give this song to Avicii and it's a dance pop hit.
Let's not do that.
I was thinking like more like a Sarah Bareilles, but okay.
Oh no, I just, when Avicii like makes dance songs out of country, it just annoys me.
Oh, I didn't know that was an actual thing. Sorry.
Like there's no denying that Hey Brother and Wake Me Up were huge hits, and
yeah,
that
they're just country songs.
Yep.
They're country songs with the Avicii dance beat.
Yes.
And other things, of course. But this is just a great song. It doesn't really matter what genre lens you put it through. It's going to be a great song.
All right, we're going to have to get meaner, Jennifer, because right now, just walking away with it.
We're just,
right.
Of course, I'm walking away one of zero. Yes.
All right, Jennifer.
Yeah, he's only battling himself at this point.
present your song, your song about a beginning.
Okay, my song choice is Home Again from Michael Kiwanuka. And he is, if you don't know who he is, please, please seek him out. His debut album came out in 2012. And I think it was probably shortly after that I discovered him and was so happy. He's described as British soul, but, you know, also folk rock, inspired by Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, Bill Withers, who is one of my all-time favorites, but also, you know, on the other spectrum, kind of, you know, Van Morrison and The Temptations. So fantastic, fantastic artist. And so Home Again was his debut album, and then his title song, Home Again. And it's a little different, kind of like similarly to yours. It's not about like a you know, a new venture on something, it's more of a return, a rebuilding, a regrouping, a very hopeful song. I think the first time I heard it, the thing that struck me about it was this sweet sadness, which, you know, if you had listened to us in our former lives, you know I'm a fan of the melancholy. And, you know, having been through, you know, different phases in my life where I felt a little lost, and to then look back and, you know that, okay, I can go home again. I know it'll be okay. I know it's going to be good. Not, you know, not the physical home, but just kind of regroup, start over. And, so that's what it, to me, and, you know, not to get too involved in 2016. It was a tough year for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons all across the board. And to me, this also has the kind of reminiscence of the folk, not really protest songs, but inspirational songs that came out in the early 70s, you know, when our country was at war.
Home again, home again. One day I know I feel home again. Wrong again, wrong again. One day I know I feel strong again. I lift my head. Many times I've been told all this talk will make you old, so I'll close my eyes, look behind, moving on.
When I first heard when it was originally just mine and Josh's songs that I knew, I was like, oh, I'm going to run away with this. And then then I saw Jen's song, yes! And I was like, oh, this is like actual competition.
Okay, I will say, you know, I was hoping to be the ringer in this whole thing, because you guys are both so knowledgeable, so opinionated, and so vocal. When we were doing, you know, the Glee podcast, I was sort of like, yeah, you know,
passionate.
and I
the word.
You know, I had my opinions, but to me, it was more about contextually, like how it fit into the story and what, you know, the different, you know, characters, if it was, you know, one of those scenes where they were, you know, trying to tell their story or share their feelings. So, yeah, for this one, I just love it. It's funny because I have two different types of pick me up albums or stations that I listen to when I'm at work. And, you know, one is just like, I'll go to something like, you know, LaRue, like I just need something like, you know, poppy, yeah, and like dancey.
Hopefully you listen to album 2 of LaRue sometime.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes.
It's, listens to album 2 by LaRue.
No, okay, people do.
No one's ever heard that record.
Sexotech is fantastic.
But because because it comes up randomly in my Pandora and I you know, thumbs up everything. But, you know, but then, you know, there's the more quiet, soulful, inspirational, like this one that just, you know, it just kind of like it grounds me in a way emotionally where I feel, okay, it's gonna be okay, I can do this. And it gives me the you know, the motivation and strength to just keep moving on. So it not to steal the line from, you know, the thing, but yeah, so much of the song, I mean, again, I've had some, you know, points in my life where things weren't going so great, and I didn't have this song then, but had I had it then, it might have made it a little easier at that time.
I mean, I do like this song. I don't want to say anything bad about Michael Kiwanuka. I love his new record.
Oh, it's amazing.
Songs of Love and Hate.
Check,
I think,
it
is
out. Yes.
Perfection. It's like the
Pretty
best
Danger
record.
Mouse,
current.
I saw.
What's that? Oh yeah, Danger
I saw
Mouse,
that. Yeah. Danger Mouse.
Yeah, Danger Mouse produced the new one. This one was produced by, actually, I looked it up. You know, the new one is like the best record Curtis Mayfield never wrote. Like, the new one, it's like this crazy mix of like 60s protest music and 70s soul. And there's these moments where I'm like, I feel like I'm watching like a spaghetti Western soundtrack. Like the new one's unbelievable. This album to me is just kind of like a, I feel like it's kind of a second rate Bill Withers record. I mean, I don't want to, I mean, this is a lovely song, but I wish he had more, more point, like more kind of like something to say about it. I'm looking for like, where does, how does it resonate with you? Like in a specific way, or is it just that it's just what you need in the moment?
Well, no, I mean the whole idea of, you know, just being, you know, emotionally lost and, you know, just being in these times where, you know, you have to be reminded it's okay. And so for me, like, oh, I can't, now that I'm getting a little, you know, thing, but you know, there's certainly was like, you know, even just, okay. So again, after 2016, you know, we've all talked like, okay, what do we need to do to make our lives better in 2017? So it's like, you know, like the whole verse, many times I've been told, speak your mind, just be bold. So I close my eyes, won't look back, won't look behind, moving on. So I'll close my eyes. So to me, that it's kind of that command to regroup, do more, be better, and take control of the situation. Don't just be hurt and wounded and say, well, gosh darn it, that sucked. To me, it's comforting, but also challenging and inspirational in that way.
You sold me.
Okay.
I really like that.
Thank you.
What I think the song lacked in specific details, I think it really delivered with like overall resonance of feeling.
Yeah.
And I think, and it really allows you to attach yourself to it. Like the second I heard it, I was like, oh, this is a really solid song.
Yeah.
Right.
Jennifer Slade. Right.
Well, thank you. And I mean, I know, like, I'm sure I have, you know, certain artists that I have in my back pocket that I'm going to use, you know, at any given time. But like, it reminds me kind of like of Elliott Smith in the way that his songs are so specific to an emotion, but general to a situation that I feel like it always is going to mean something to me. And
that's a beautiful way to describe Elliott Smith. That's possibly the best way I've heard anyone describe Elliott Smith.
Thank you. So this was very much in that vein, but also, you know, it just makes me feel good.
Awesome. Well, that is Home Again by Michael Kiwanuka from the album Home Again, which if you've not heard Home Again, the album, it's a great album, but Songs of Love and Hate is like,
so
that,
start with Home Again and then go to, I love it.
I'm really excited about the prospect of this podcast in general for both me expanding my Spotify playlist and like for finding songs to destroy you both with, and what you'll bring to the table for me. Yeah. Like I'm kind of like, I'm excited. I may be ready for Songs of Bjork Week, for example.
Maybe. Songs of Bjork Week? Oh, wow. Yeah. That'd be an interesting theme. Well, yeah, no, I have a Spotify playlist that has these three songs in it. And I think, you know, we can all share our Spotify playlist. I got pretty into Spotify this month. So we can all share our Spotify playlist as we're going forward. So so you both know what my selection is, but the listeners don't know what my selection is. And it's funny that Ed was slagging off my selection in a minute or a few minutes ago, because my selection is going to kill you both. There's no way you can hold up about this. All right. I'm excited to hear what Ed has to say.
Defend it.
I'm going to make my case. And then Ed, I'm super excited to hear what you have to say, because I don't think you can beat Nina Simone.
Okay. And the only reason I'm siding with Josh on this right now is
this was your pick.
This was
until
my,
you found out I picked it.
Right. But I had gone through a couple of other ones, and Home Again was one of them. And then this was going to be my selection until Josh showed it to me. And I was like, okay, fine, you have it. But
well, so let me just introduce.
I'm not
going to
roll over, though. I'm not going to roll over.
We'll introduce this a little bit. So Nina Simone, let's talk a little bit about Nina Simone. Nina Simone gave zero fucks. Nina Simone was a woman who did not care. And the beautiful thing about Nina Simone is she was born in 33. She was from North Carolina, from the family of a preacher. Her name wasn't Nina Simone. Her name was actually Eunice Wayman, but she changed it to Nina Simone.
Smart marketing move.
Yes. She changed it to Nina Simone because she was playing quote unquote the devil's music, and she didn't want her family to know about it. She wasn't even a singer when she started. She wanted to be a concert pianist, but she needed to make ends meet. So she was playing in a nightclub in Atlantic City, and the owner said, "I'll only pay you if you sing." So she started singing. It was just, everything about her is unconventional. And for years, Nina Simone made these kind of standards records, these kind of like pleasant Cole Porter records. And they're great. Like, her early records are awesome. But then in 1964, she does this Live at Carnegie Hall record. And she'd always kind of had like the civil rights movement in her songs or in her live performances, but just not really in her songs. And on this record, she recorded Mississippi Goddamn, which... is about the bombings in Alabama. And it was just this moment. It's also about the murder of Medgar Evers. And it was just this moment where she just said it. She just said, like, here's a song, Mississippi Goddamn, which is not the song I brought to the table tonight, but here's a song about literally about a person who doesn't know what to say. And so they just start rambling. Like, she just starts listing things after a while. And it's just magical. So she puts this song out in 64, and she just changed record labels. And it was kind of like, after that, she became the civil rights singer. She became like Nina Simone sings about the black experience and the civil rights movement in America. And so then for a couple albums, she's kind of trying to put the genie back in the bottle. And she does like a bunch of records in 64 and 65 where she's like, I'm just going to do pleasant stuff. But no one could see, like, you listen to them now and you're like, oh wait, we see it now. And so Nina Simone, like, she ended up, the civil rights era was really hard for her. By the mid-70s, she's kind of a drunk, she's in a terribly abusive relationship, she's in a terribly abusive person to the people around her. She ends up kind of dying in obscurity in France. I think, like, she died in 2003, and most people thought she had died in the 90s. Like, she just kind of disappeared. But when I say, like, Nina Simone is a woman who gave zero fucks, I don't mean it in the way that, like, rock stars give zero fucks, right? We always say that about rock stars. And rock stars give zero fucks because, like, they're so detached from humanity that they aren't even, like, on the same plane as we are. So they're just, like, they've kind of lost view of the world at this point. And then there's this kind of popular concept of, like, I give zero fucks in 2017, which is this kind of, like, jaded, like, I don't care what you think about me, I'm going to wear a sarcastic t-shirt, like, a mixture of, like, apathy and arrogance, which is really popular right now. It's not like that. She gave zero fucks because I genuinely feel she gave so many fucks in the 60s that she was just broken. And you listen to these songs she recorded in like 65, 66, 67, and you can just hear her sucking up all of the pain of this period and putting it in a song. And you can hear it in her voice, and you can hear it in her playing, and you can just hear everything about it. And like Four Women, like Four Women is unbelievable as a song. And like Wild as the Wind, like that song just, you can't even get through it. It's so good. Yeah. And so, obviously, I'm going to play Feeling Good because it is the ultimate song about beginnings, about, like, starting something. So let's take a listen to Nina Simone's original recording. I believe she has some live ones, but this is the original recording of Feeling Good.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Did you know that's from a musical? It's from a British musical. I had to look this up, which is called The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, which we're all super big familiar with, I imagine.
That's so funny. I mean, I've heard that expression before, but I didn't know it was an actual musical.
Yeah. It was written by two English musical composers, Anthony Newley and Leslie Brooks.
Oh, Anthony Newley. Yes.
There you go. And it was a Broadway song. She did a lot of Broadway songs, but I just think it's perfect. It's like this beautiful travelogue. Like it's a really specific image. She's walking through nature and just realizing she's as free as all the things around her. Yeah. So this is when I'm going to look to Ed and be like, look, I know you've heard this song on every single American Idol ever. And there's a great Billy Paul version. That's like really the only other version worth paying attention to.
I mean, I know the song from both American Idol and Muse, to be frank.
And the Muse version, I actually really like the Muse cover. I think that's a good
The Muse version is solid.
Oh my gosh,
solid.
I don't... Yeah. I don't think I've heard that.
The Michael Bublé cover can go in a fire. There's actually a Dee Snider cover, the lead singer of Twisted Sister did it.
Bublé vanilla, covers. He vanilla'd it.
Yeah. Of course he did, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's fine, I guess.
I mean, I
if you like vanilla, I like vanilla sometimes.
Yeah, we all like vanilla sometimes. It works, but I can't imagine anybody else doing that because her confidence and patience delivering every line in its time with so much feeling. Anybody is doing. Okay, so yes, I've obviously seen on American Idol all these covers of it. But I felt like there was so much forced emotion and lack of understanding that it was very, very hollow to me.
There's also like, I love the beginning where she's so patient and it's a cappella.
Yeah.
And then when the music kicks in with those drums and the strings, it's just sexy.
Yeah,
and
you can feel her grooving. Like
it makes freedom sexy. And there's just something empowering about it. I found a quote, the guy who wrote the song when it was a part in the show and they asked, I think it was Newley. They said, this is what we need in the show. And they said, write a booming song of emancipation, which is just like the best way to describe it. Yeah. It's just magic. And then the whole scat at the end where she's like, you guys take a break. I'm going to go as long as I want and you cannot stop me. It's just great. So, yes, I don't think you can hold a candle to Nina Simone's Feeling Good, but I want to hear what Ed has to say because Ed has some thoughts.
I have thoughts, but I'm actually more on your side than I thought I was going to be. Like, I really like the sense of triumph that was throughout the song, and I really enjoy the jazz elements, and I didn't understand when you sent the song. I didn't understand why you were choosing the song. It didn't make sense. But now that you've given me the context for it, I mean, I think you could kind of like reverse engineer what we each think of beginnings in this way. Like Josh has this overwhelming, Josh has this overwhelming desire for happiness that he's afraid to expose or something. and I have like this desire to constantly reframe things. And then Jen has this desire to like find her like grounding. And I feel like you could really see our in a reflection of our choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, so there you go.
I feel like you just saved me money on therapy. Like that sentence was so accurate. When you like sized up all of our
choices. Feeling a little vulnerable and exposed, but yet oddly comforted. Thank you, Ed.
Well, let's go around because those are all of our choices. Does anybody else want to say anything about Feeling Good before we move on? Let's go around and Ed, make one great final case and feel free to tell Jen and I why our selections are garbage. Make one final case for Little Victories by Blue Sky Riders being the ultimate song about beginnings.
I feel like of the three songs that were presented today, Little Victories had the most on the point lyrical delivery, and I guess that's his strongest suit. And I think you should go for it if you were willing to vote for it, because it's a little bit of a left to center choice. Like, it's probably not something that would, like, if you ask 20 people or 100 people, this song probably wouldn't come up, but you ask Ed and this is the one that comes up. So there you go.
Jennifer, one final case for Home Again by Michael Kiwanuka.
Okay. To contrast what Ed said, where his is very on the nose, mine is so broad and relatable and applicable to many different people going through many different things. And everybody should just know who Michael Kiwanuka is and just embrace him.
I know. He was playing in L.A. I wanted to see him so bad.
He had laryngitis.
And he got laryngitis and canceled his entire U.S. tour.
Yeah.
And I was so bummed.
Very frustrating.
That was one of the shows I desperately wanted to see.
That would have been amazing. That would have been a fantastic way to end a not-so-fantastic year. Yeah. But I do think that... there's a relatable nature to this song, and I think that that's why it is the best beginning song.
I don't even think I have to make a case, but I will make a case, and I'll just say,
okay, snarky pants.
I will just say that Nina Simone, like, that's all I can really say. Every fiber of her being, when she says freedom, she doesn't shout it like Richie Havens. She doesn't make a mockery of it like Paul McCartney did on that terrible freedom song that after 9/11. She just says it and you feel it. And I guess when you're right, Ed, when we all kind of talk about beginnings, like, freedom to me is a beginning. It is like, it's definitely different. And so I think that's beautiful. Before we go, I have to tell an amazing story about when I saw Kenny Loggins in concert, and I went to the Ventura County Fair, and we all rushed up to the front of the stage because there were seats and everyone was sitting down, and no one in the seats could see because we were all gathered in front of the seats standing at the foot of the stage. And I looked back and I was like, who is sitting down? And it was just a sea of heads of people that couldn't see anything. And then sticking up in the middle of the crowd of sitting people were my parents, who were standing on their chairs with bottles of wine they had snuck in.
In water bottles. Yeah.
It was like the most definitive moment of my parents. Aww. Kenny Loggins.
There you go.
He is an American treasure. I actually was super impressed when you brought that, Ed. I was like, that's the Kenny Loggins band. That's so cool.
I've actually seen him live as well.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. At an event, one of our events. He performed. Awesome. Yes.
Well, now, dear listeners, it is time for you to vote on which of our songs is the best song about beginnings that you heard this week. You can vote on Twitter by tweeting us at BeatdownPod. You can email us at BeatdownPodcast@gmail.com, or you can tell us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeatdownPodcast. And let us know what you think is the ultimate song about beginnings. And it goes without saying, you'll want to tell us all the songs that we forgot about and were terrible.
We can't forget about... We're picking three songs.
We're just picking our favorite one, right?
Yeah, I was like, please share your favorite ones, and just know I had two backups, and Josh took one of them. So, there you go. I'm defensive already.
We will be back next week. Next week, our theme is going to be songs that have won Song of the Year at the Grammys in honor of the Grammys telecast, which is coming up very soon. We will have a guest. We don't know who that guest will be, but we will tell you when we know. Jennifer, people want to find you on the social medias. Where should they look?
Well, I suppose I'm on Twitter at Jenny B Creative. I am on Instagram at Jenny B Creative. I guess that's pretty much... Oh, Facebook. But pretty much everything I do is generated through Instagram. I'm all about the visuals. So I like to tell my stories in ambiguous, confusing, and sometimes, amusing photos. So that's where I'd say to go.
And Ed, where can people find you if they want to follow you on the medias?
If you want to follow me, I'm at Ed Giordano. Previously, actually still sometimes, occasionally, it's like motivational things that I say, slash a lot more political lately. So there you go, as a warning.
Well, you're very observational. That's what I've noticed lately. More than say political. Like I've noticed the shift to observational.
And Ed, do you want to plug any of your other podcasts?
You're welcome.
I don't have any podcasts right now besides this one.
Okay.
Shockingly.
And you can find me on Twitter at Josh Burnell, B-U-R-N-E-L-L. I have a short story that I published. Yes. It's called After the Giant. You can find it in an anthology called After the Happily Ever After on Amazon. It's available in hardcover and ebook. So you should all go buy that.
OMG. Is this the dreaded SP word somehow? Or is there a publisher involved?
No. It's an actual publisher. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, like, is it Big Five, I guess?
No, it's not Big Five. No, it's a boutique publisher.
Small press.
Yeah, it's small press. But yeah, it's Transmundane Press is what they're called. And yeah, you can find my short story and lots of other short stories. They're all dark fairy tales, which take place after fairy tales that you know and love. It's like the dark side of fairy tales. So it's very fun.
Which is, my favorite things.
And so until we meet again, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed. Have a good night, everyone.
We'll talk to everybody next week for another Beatdown. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Beatdown is a production of us and is recorded in Studio O, better known as the office attached to our garage. The theme song is Optimism by the Numbers by Brian Lerner and is used with his wine-addled permission. If you enjoyed this broadcast, leave a review on iTunes. It helps others find the show and spreads the word that I can go on way too long about anything when given the opportunity. The music clips we discuss in this podcast are used in compliance with the U.S. Copyright Act Fair Use Exemption for criticism and commentary. If you'd like to listen to the songs we talked about this week in their entirety, visit us on Twitter at BeatdownPod, online at beatdownpodcast.com, and on Facebook at facebook.com/beatdownpodcast.